everyone. Welcome to another edition of our podcast series, Coffee with the Council. Hello from very sunny Singapore. I just enjoyed my cup of coffee, or locally we will say kopi siu tai, or coffee with milk with less sugar. My name is Yu Kwan, and I'm the Regional VP for PCI Security Standards Council. My role involves driving engagements across Asia Pacific. And I'm super excited about this very special edition of the podcast. Today, I'm joined by three very amazing guests, and we will share a brief update of Asia Pacific. First, we have Eileen Liu, who is the Director in Tax Technologies, Payment Technology Department. Now, Tax Technology is one of the largest POS solution provider in the world, and Tax is also a PCI principal participating organization. Now, they are a PCI Board of Advisor member as well. Eileen is the primary point of contact representing PACs in both groups. Next, we have Gilbert Chu, who is the Chief Operating Officer for LGMNs. They are a regional QSA and ASV, or PCI Approved Scanning Vendor for short. It's based from Malaysia. Gilbert is a QSA professional and an expert in IT security with more than 15 years of experience. And last and certainly not the least, we have Stuart Campbell, who is the head of customer service and a key leader for QuasaScan, a solution provider based in New Zealand. And they provide a tool that is able to discover sensitive data that is stored within your environment. QuasaScan is also a PCI Associate PO. Thank you so much for joining this podcast, Eileen, Gilbert, and Stuart. Let's get started with a very simple question first. Since this podcast is called Coffee with the Council, I'm enjoying my cup of coffee. Please share, what is your favorite drink that you enjoy every morning? Let's start with you first, Eileen.
That is a very good question. Nowadays in China, our go-to is the popular new style tea drink. You can call it an updated version of bubble tea, a sweetened tea-based beverage blended with milk, juice, and chewy tapioca. It's also my team's favorite, transforming our tea breaks into moments of pure enjoyment and relaxation.
It sounds very nice. How about you, Gilbert?
I do accept a lot of coffee types, but one thing to stand out for me is Vietnamese coffee. So I like the taste as pure as it is. In fact, I know there's a chance to go to Hanoi end of the year. There's a PCI event. Hopefully I can try the authentic one.
Nice. Stuart?
Yeah, so I'm dialing in from sunny but windy Wellington, which is the coffee capital of New Zealand, I would probably say. And allegedly, we have more cafes per capita than like New York does, so it's quite popular down here. I'm a bit boring. I'll just drink a regular latte if I'm being good at decaf, I suppose. Okay, that's my drink.
Very safe, but very nice. Now, back to you, Eileen. Can you share with the audience what's the latest from PACS Technology and what are some of the toys that you are playing with these days?
I'm thrilled to share the latest developments from PACS Technology and our exciting journey in the world of Android smart POS. You can consider us as a dedicated contributor in the ever-evolving world of Android smart POS. Our commitment to innovation drives substantial investments in R&D with a clear goal of developing payment technologies that not only keep pace with the digital landscape, but also catalyze success of businesses. For merchants considering the transition from legacy POS to Android smart POS, the benefits are numerous. It offers enhanced user friendliness, regular updates, effortless customization, streamlined remote technical assistance, and support for various distribution models. Reflecting on the past year, we introduced a range of Angel Smart POS and Angel ePOS products. It was all about adapting to the changing needs of the industry. The excitement extends beyond the present as we quietly broaden our product lines, aiming to cater to the unique needs of diverse global segments. Our focus is on integrating cutting-edge technologies like 5G, eSIM, and AI, or exemplifies our commitment to crafting greener solutions. We are adopting sustainable materials, greener battery technology, digital receipts, and eco-packaging. Now, let's talk about MaxStore, seamlessly connected to over 10 million devices globally, including PAX's own devices, as well as a number of non-PAX devices. It's not some flashy platform. It's made for optimal device management, deployment of value-added applications, and rich business intelligence, which is a key differentiator in the market today. Each PAX Angel Smart POS model aims to simplify things for users, from application management to precise geolocation on maps. MaxStore empowers users with real-time insights, approve, push, or delete applications on terminals, send diverse notifications to merchants, enable remote control assistance, and even create geofencing rings. As MaxStore evolves, it regularly introduces new features, aligning with the dynamic trends in Angel Smart POS technology and navigating the ever-changing digital payment landscape.
Well, thanks for that update, Eileen. Now, over to you, Gilbert. So, you know, based on your years of experience supporting companies across Southeast Asia to safeguard and protect their infrastructure, you know, what is the latest of what you're hearing? Any observations to share?
Yes, there are lots of initiative and also security programs that is happening here in APAC. But I think one thing to stand out is definitely a lot of the companies who are actually already within the PCI program or about to embark the PCI program. Majority of them, they are actually within the journey or going to start the cloud journey, which is migrating their business processes, which involve credit card or debit card businesses to the cloud environment. So this give them a little bit of challenge, or I would say some homework that they need to do, is because of other than their local regulation, whether they go cloud, you know, whether their sensitive data can go cloud or not, they're also taking care of this PCI perspective. By going cloud, what would be the risk, or what would be the do and don'ts, you know? What are the causes that they need to adhere to while they're planning their cloud? For some of them who's already decided to go cloud, what kind of potential challenges or red flag that they need to look into? So these are the common observation, not only in Southeast Asia, but in the entire APAC as well. So which this actually leads to the following challenges along the way, because while they are actually migrating their environment to the cloud, that's requiring them to have new skills or new knowledge to be trained. Because can they choose the right vendor or the right supplier or partner to work with them migrating the data to the cloud? When you go to the cloud, it will be slightly different environment. I would say it will be quite different environment for their existing in-house IT experts. Because by then, they would be talking about example like security hardening, configuration standards, access control, firewall. So all these common terms that they have been very used to in their old environment, they need to put that into the cloud. At the same time, how do they ensure that they are still complying with PCI DSS? And especially from 2023 onwards until this year, they also need to take care of the new version of PCI DSS 4.0. So this actually gives them a bit of, challenges, a bit more of work and homework to be done while they're going through this cloud journey. So again, this will lead to another standout challenges out of complying to the standards, which is the introduction of a lot of these new tools and new technologies. So they're always looking into tools, or I would say technologies, that can assist them to manage their security in a more efficient way, while at the same time complying to the standards. So majority of the time, I do observe that they are pretty reserved, or they are pretty play safe while they're evaluating certain security tools, especially when it comes to security. They do not know that, all right, maybe these tools or this technology can help them in security environment, but is this tool can help them to comply to the requirement or not? So there is always sitting on the gate, and there will be a bit dilemma for them to evaluate. So these three are the common standout point based on my personal observation throughout the entire APAC market.
Hey, thank you so much for that, Gilbert. I mean, completely agree with you. And, you know, within the council and together with many of our stakeholders from the PCI community, we are having many of those conversations to help guide the industry. And that is a very, very nice segue to Stuart. So Stuart, I remember a couple of months ago, just before the holiday, you had shared some really interesting information about WhatsApp Scan. Can you please tell our audience more about data discovery, why it is important, and also how can WhatsApp Scan help them?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of hard to believe that was a couple of months ago now, isn't it? How time flies. Absolutely. So we've been doing a lot of thinking, I suppose, recently around data discovery, specifically QuasarScan from our point of view, and how it fits into a wider sustainable compliance program. There's obvious benefits, I should say, when it comes to the world of data discovery. The first ones off the bat you would generally think of would just be compliance gains. So obviously a mature, kind of consistent data discovery program or process, having that in place really supports PCI compliance and specific requirements. To name a few, we're talking about in the new version 4 world, requirement 3.5.1, so around that storage of CHD, 4.2.1, as well as a couple in requirement 12, specifically 12.5.2, and things like that. There's some right off the bat compliance gains that can be made, which is really, really positive. But I suppose more importantly, what are kind of the high-level things it can do as part of a wider risk and assurance program? So that's something we've spent a lot of time doing. So what we can do is we can really spend a lot of good time validating and confirming scope, understanding where your vulnerabilities lie, where there's any unprotected or unencrypted CHD is going to be super helpful as a starting point, which is very, very cool. We're also going to provide some really good guidance on highlighting problem areas pretty instantaneously. So there might be a business process, not just a technology one, where we can identify some risk to begin with. Might be an engagement where customers are interacting with you and there's some cardholder data being transferred. And it's not always been happening or happening in places that you necessarily expect it to happen. And then moving forward, it's going to provide some really good ongoing assurance and enable kind of a mindset shift inside of an organization and how they're treating this vulnerable data effectively. So we've done a lot of work in the last couple of years really developing out these programs. We call it a form of a managed assurance program. So we'll work with potentially a QSA company, end customer and their clients, ISA, service providers, and we'll develop kind of a 12-month plan of what data discovery and how it fits into their kind of wider risk and assurance program. It might be the case where after a first assessment, we're going to do some quarterly QSA checks that's going to be supported by some vulnerability scanning, and we're going to logically support that by quarterly scans across their environment, identifying instances of cardholder data, I should say. And that kind of really supports the organization on an ongoing basis, which is very, very cool. The product itself, Quasar, is pretty exciting. So we've got some really smart tech when it comes to proprietary wager scoring systems, weeding out false positives, and most importantly, really identifying vulnerabilities at their root cause level. So we don't want to just understand a problem at its surface level and then it resurfaces, as it were, kind of 3 to 4 months later. we spend a lot of time with our customers and with our partners analyzing the data that we identify. So we want to provide some guidance on a solution that is absolutely enduring. It might be a technology change. It could be decommissioning, storing a certain system in a different place. It could be changing a form. It could be doing some key customer training with your customer support teams. We really want to create the fix, or enable you to create the fix, I should say, early. And then in 3 months' time, when we potentially have to rescan a similar or the same system, the same vulnerability is not going to be popping up again. The benefit, obviously, at the end of the day for this kind of program is that at the end of your compliance year, it's going to lead to a much more streamlined and effective PCI DSS compliance or assessment, I should say. So yeah, we've done a lot of thinking around that whole program view of what PCI looks like, how data discovery fits into that, how specifically QuasarScan can really enable some effective data discovery practices and procedures in your organization and really kind of address and mitigate some risk over the long term. So yeah, that's Quasar in a nutshell.
Thanks for that, Stuart. I think the key thing that resonated with me when you last shared with me the solution is how it would support the different stakeholders to continuously safeguard the environment, right? As opposed to a checkpoint that is done at a given point in time. So thanks for sharing with that. If I can stay with you, QuasarScan has been a PCI associate PO for a few years. So PO stands for a participating organization. Thank you so much for being part of the PCI community and supporting the council over all these years. Can you please share with our audience, what are some of the benefits of being a PO that appeal to you?
Yeah, no problem. So it's been really beneficial for us. I think it's fair to say a few years ago, we really started our expansion journey. We're still a relatively small organization, but we're really starting to grow now, which is really, really pleasing from the bottom of the world, as it were. So becoming a PO was one of the first steps that we took, or an associate PO. It was extremely helpful. It was kind of a low-cost, high-value opportunity to become part of a tightly knit community of experts right from the outset. So obviously, we get things like access to the document library. We get to provide feedback. We get some really good networking opportunities and conversations with the likes of yourself there, you've won, in terms of some really kind of some key people in the world of payment security and PCI. So that's been really, really positive. It kind of provided us an instant network where we could really start to do some really good work and support some really cool organizations with, which was very, very cool. To top it all off, we've had more of a presence in the community meetings over the last couple of years, which has been pretty cool. So it was really nice to meet up with a number of people at the back end of last year in Kuala Lumpur at the first APAC in-person meeting in a few years. So that was cool. Those events are really, really positive from my point of view. So we get a few complimentary passes as part of being a PO, obviously. So a couple of the team head over to that. It's a really good networking opportunity. You can talk to vendors, you can talk to partners, potentially some QSAs, the schemes, the SSC themselves. I'd probably just say do a lot of listening from our point of view, understanding where the market is, how things are changing, what problems there are out there, and how we can potentially design our solutions to really go a long way towards solving said problems. We had a lot of good fun there last year, and we're looking forward to attending some more of those sessions this year and really contributing towards it.
Appreciate the very kind words, Stuart. Thank you so much for that. Now, to our audience, the next PCI Asia Pacific Community meeting will be in beautiful Hanoi, as Gilbert mentioned, and it will be on the 20th and 21st of November. The last event, as we alluded to, was in Kuala Lumpur in 2023, and we had over 360 registrations. And the large majority of this did attend in person. And what Stuart mentioned just now, it's really a lot of fun to catch up with different stakeholders. You know, more often than not, you get really good advice and guidance, as well as feedback, depending on, you know, what sort of issues you may be facing. Right. So I hope all of you plan a trip to Hanoi at the end of the year, and I'm looking forward to see many of you there. So Gilbert, thank you again for being one of the key sponsors at the community meeting in Kuala Lumpur last year. We will see many interesting changes at the council this year, including the sunset for PCI DSS version 3.2.1 in 31st of March of this year. Can you share with us how has your conversation been with your client about this transition, and you know, how are they reacting to PCI DSS version 4?
Right. Yeah. First of all, thank you very much, Yuquan, and to the council that we can work together during the recent event in KL last year. Well, in fact, just the event itself, there was a lot of conversation that is happening within the community? How is their experience to the entire version 3.2.1? What sort of expectation that majority of my customers from various industries, that how they have been benefited from the version 3.2.1? Of course, there could be a majority of them, they struggle at the very, very early stage. I mean, many years ago, when they started off with the version 3.2.1, but I think along the way, when they got compliance, they continue to maintain the program. In fact, they themselves have actually captured how is the program have give them a lot of benefits in terms of enhancing their entire corporate security program in cybersecurity. So that makes them getting more excited. For majority of them who are quite familiar with PCI DSS program, when they got to know that this version 4.0 is coming up and it has been drafted, they are quite excited about it. Until now, when 4.0 is already introduced and it's going to be enforced officially soon by end of the March. So what they have been pretty excited here is that they see a lot more hands-on and also a very practical and also realistic kind of controls, I would say, controls or clauses when it comes to the introduction of 4.0. In short, they see it more, even more closer on how they can actually jive in the entire PCI program together with the business nature, together with the business objective, which is very important to them. So this actually gives them a different type of hikes they can actually aim when they're designing their PCI program by riding on this version 4.0. So this is something that they are very excited about. So of course, other than that, a majority of my customers, they do show that in terms of the introduction or changes, if there are any technical controls or process related kind of controls has been introduced along with the new version. Some of them, they are actually very excited as well, especially they will look into the PCI community, what sort of solution or I would say tools or technologies that can actually help them to meet the requirement. Majority of these customers, probably there has been a struggle back in the old days whereby they need to rely a lot in manual approach in order to meet the compliance. So when they get passed by, a new version is coming up, there are more, even clearer guidance. They are very open to this new version. In fact, the people that has been talking with us while they're going through this compliance program, these are the people all the way from the ground working on the operation to the C-levels. This is how they are actually looking forward this 4.0. So I think the awareness and the needs of all this new requirement is definitely has been consistently made as an awareness that's give them a lot more appreciate towards this new introduction.
And if I can jump in, Gilbert, you know, the part that really love what you referred to just now was on the requirements being realistic, right? And that's, I think, one of the benefits of being part of the PCI community, where, you know, since you have to comply with the PCI DSS requirements in order to fulfill your legal obligations to the standards, you know, why not improve it, right? So that is such an important word, right? Because if the requirements are not realistic, the requirements are not relevant, it doesn't help anyone because nobody can then meet that requirement. So thanks for mentioning that. Now, if you quickly move on to Eileen. Eileen, you know, PEX Technology, you know, thank you again so much for being a PCI principal PO and a board of advisor member. You have been to many interesting countries to attend these meetings. But I remember that PEX Technology was also an associate PO before. Can you please share, you know, how has being a principal PO different now? And what sort of benefits that you and your team have found useful?
Yeah, sure. As you know, that we have been an associate PO for many, many years. And last year was our first year as a principal PO, which is a more proactive role than an associate PO. We are able to participate in regular TGG online meetings and RRG face-to-face meetings with PCI leaders, industry experts, and payment brands. this deeper level of engagement allows us to strategically influence standards and provides oversight of draft standards before they are released for requests for commands, whereas the associate PO could only command after the request for commands were released. As a principal PO, we will also have a direct link to PCI SSC. For example, we can have online or offline meetings with PCI SSC executives to discuss specific technical and strategic questions. By having a seat at the table, we can bring our industrial, geographic, and technical insights to bear on the council's standards. In addition, regular meetings provide valuable networking opportunities. These engagements not only facilitate knowledge sharing, but also foster collaboration and partnerships with other principal POs and the board of advisors, as well as enabling us to stay updated on the latest trends and developments in the industry. These interactions often set against the backdrop of beautiful locations such as Washington, D.C., Chicago, and Dublin, with nice food and beautiful views, provide a conducive environment for collaborative discussion and relationship building, the benefits of which extend beyond the boardroom, fostering a sense of community and a shared vision for the future of secure payment technologies. It's really, really good for principal PO.
Thank you so much, Aileen. And I can see that you have embraced all of the acronyms already. So just for our audience, some of the acronyms that Aileen has clearly adopted already includes RRG, which stands for Roadmap Roundtable Group, as well as TGG, so Technology Guidance Group. And these two groups are mainly for the principal POs, right? Where they serve different functions, where the RRG provides a forum for them to contribute to strategic inputs and insights to the council and our EXCO members. And the TGG is a more technical group, right? So a more technical group that shares insights much shorter time frame, and they also provide oversight as the standards are being drafted by the working groups, right? And this is before it goes out to RFC, to all of the PCI community members. Okay. So with that, thank you so much, Aileen, Gilbert, and Stuart, for sharing your insights from across Asia Pacific in this podcast. And to our audience, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Do remember to subscribe to the podcast, as well as our PCI's perspective blog, to get the latest from the council. So with that, I'm signing off from Singapore.